for Jaden Daniels to take the next step, how important is it to have Terry McLaurin by his side? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We love an ascending football team, Pearl. Do we ever?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think there's anything we like more. We like ascending football teams more than we like the ones who have already ascended. Like
one lesson of sports. Next is all that matters. What happened in the past, irrelevant.
So, obviously, the Washington Commanders, after a surprise run to the NFC Championship game, are now being penciled in as, like, the best team, I guess, really, to take a shot here at your Philadelphia Eagles and to dethrone them in the own division. Faced them three times last year. Mm-hmm. And the problem is that Terry McLaurin, their standout wide receiver, is still in a contract dispute. Now, McLaurin did decide to show up. He was not at training camp, but he did. And let's hear from McLaurin. Manny, can we hear cut six, please? First, said it was difficult watching teammates practice and not being out there.
It's tough, but, you know, it's the business right now and just trying to take things day by day.
And also very important to interact with the Commanders fans that have come out to training camp.
And it's unbelievable. That's this part that gives you joy. Like you kind of lose sight of some things sometimes when the business gets involved. But I never lost sight of the way they supported me and the way that I pour into them and the way they poured into me. So at the end of the day, it's business, but it has nothing to do with them. And any chance I could come out here, do what I got to do in there, but come out and show them my support and how much I love them, I'm always do that. I've always been that way.
Yeah, this is a guy who's getting good advice. Show up, sign autographs for the fans. Don't let them, don't turn the fans against you, especially now. I don't know about you, Pearl, but I was watching some beat reporters, including our friend Nikki Jabala, who covered the Commanders for a long time. The line of people who were camped out at Commanders training camp at 6:30 in the morning to wait to get in to watch what's going on there. You haven't had this kind of buzz and excitement in Washington, it feels like, in decades. So McLaurin's smart, show up, sign autographs, pose for photos. But I think the question is, who should blink here in this negotiation? And is it smarter for McLaurin to take a little less in order to play with Jaden Daniels, have this time with Jaden Daniels, and realize that Daniels really is the rocket ship here, and it's kind of like attached to him, and see where this thing goes?
Well, I mean, he's under contract. He doesn't have any choice. He's got one more year left, so it's not like he's getting $23 million this year. He signed a pretty good contract before. I think this is one where I actually lean maybe toward the team because of his age. So he's turning 30 on September 10th. Do you really want to give that big contract to a 30-year-old receiver? I think Washington, since Daniel Snyder left, seems like a smart team. I'm thinking Belichick's Patriots. There's no way he would pay Terry McLaurin in this situation. So I think this feels like, oh my God, he was awesome. Remember he had that screen pass that he took to the house in the playoffs last year? But smart teams are really careful about older players. So this is a tough situation. You need Terry McLaurin there, but I think the Commanders are probably right to play a little hardball here.
Well, but you're saying that they've been a lot smarter since Daniel Snyder's gone, and ding dong, the witch is dead when it comes to Daniel Snyder just being out of the NFL. He's obviously fine and alive, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like him being gone is better off for the league, no doubt. But they got the second pick. The Bears took Caleb Williams. There was no question about who they were going to take second, right? I don't think they were ever linked to Drake May, really, were they? Anyway, so here's what I'm saying. Jaden Daniels, I would say, kind of fell in their lap.
I don't think it was that obvious. There were a lot of people who had all sorts of different scenarios. I don't think every team was going to take Jaden Daniels there. Jaden Daniels.
Well, yeah, but this was not like a talent or a skill thing that they picked Jaden Daniels to go to, because like that was, he had just won the Heisman. Yeah, he put together this all-time thing. Yeah, they are relying on a lot of old guys. They brought in Deebo Samuel. I mean, they're bringing in Laramie Tunsil.
Right.
They're relying on Zach Ertz.
It worked last year. Great.
Right.
Wow. So, Jaden Daniels, Bobby Wagner, Frank Liuvu. Like, they have a lot of, like,
Austin
veterans.
Eckler they brought in. Remember? Yeah. Like,
Zach Ertz was amazing last year. So that strategy is working. Like, low-risk, older guys. Look at that.
But
they have them on short deals.
Is it going to work this year as, all of a sudden 30 can be different than 31 and 33 can look different than 34?
Right, you're proving my point.
No, I'm not saying they should sign Terry McLaurin for a million-year contract.
Right.
I'm just saying you're saying that the Washington Commanders have been so smart.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we'll see this year because I'm not so bullish on the fact that it's just going to be smooth sailing or that they're going to obviously repeat what they did a year ago.
No, that's an extremely high bar. I'm not saying that, but I think they have a situation here with an older player who wants to get paid a ton. that is uncomfortable for teams. I don't think it's a no-brainer to just say, yeah, we all love Terry McLaurin. They've loved him since he was a third-round pick out of Ohio State.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean that you could just give him 4 years of guaranteed money. These receivers age fast.
888-710-4ISN. Who needs who more, I think, is the question with Terry McLaurin. Because, you know, you could say, yeah, you know, you don't want to sign him and the team should be smart here and not get locked into him. But this is a guy who had 16 touchdowns last year for Jaden Daniels. It's a difference maker. And I don't think you can expect that Deebo Samuel's not going to make up that kind of production. No way.
Well, I mean, also, too, they lost
Noah Brown. I don't think so.
They lost Deami Brown, who was a big part of that, especially by the end. He was playing really, really well. That does happen with successful teams. So, yeah, I just don't quite understand how this plays out. I think they finally find it. I think they're negotiating right now. I think McLaurin probably wants 4 years, and they probably want 2 years. So they'll end up at 3 years at 27 or no, $30 million a year. So let's just, well, I think what you're saying is it'd be smart to just get it done because we all know where this is landing.
And can I just give you the depth chart here for the Washington receiver core? This is Deebo Samuel, Luke McCaffrey.
Yeah.
The other McCaffrey, Noah Brown. And now I'm going into the backups here. Michael Gallup.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
KJ Osborne.
I remember he was my accidental Yahoo fantasy draft pick.
That's the only reason I brought him up. He's actually third string. You know, I could go more Chris Moore. Like, you guys aren't going to know these guys. So
that's actually way more depth than I thought you were about to say. That's two guys who actually have NFL experience. If you get McLaurin back, then you're looking pretty good there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You don't, this is not a number one. You don't have a number one here, is by the names that I just read. And by the way, I don't even know if you have a solid number two. So McLaurin is extremely important, and that's why I would not lose the forest through the trees if I'm the Commanders. Even if it takes an extra year or something I might not be comfortable with, while Jaden Daniels is cheap, this is the time to do something.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think McLaurin is going to hold out on his actual contract because I saw that he definitely got to the building so he doesn't have to take those fines. It's a lot of money to just, do you think he's going to hold out to week eight? The Commanders kind of have him where they want him.
888-710-4ISN. Let's get to some nicknames.
64 nicknames were entered, but only one will win. It's Maggie and Perloff's search for the greatest nickname in sports.
I got some results for you here. These are results from the Sweet 16. In the hoops and handles region, Pearl, Air Jordan, an easy victory over Irvin Magic Johnson.
It became personal with me.
60% to 40%. Are you surprised that Magic Johnson, who you don't even think people know his actual first name, did not beat out Air Jordan?
I am not. I mean, Air Jordan is clearly the favorite coming into this tournament. The other thing, too, is Magic Johnson is just his name. I keep on sticking to the theory. Once a nickname becomes your name, it's no longer a nickname. And I'm going to stand by that, Maggie. Magatron.
I wish I could be Magatron. In the Legends and Legacy region, that's where the Great One also advances over the 3 seed, the Great Bambino.
The Great One?
Of course. I thought you said the Great Bambi.
The Great One, Wayne Gretzky. 59% of the vote over the Babe, 41%. It's funny, we didn't have Babe Ruth as the nickname. We didn't have Salt in the SWAT. We went with Great Bambino. Made it all the way to the Sweet 16. Gets ousted by Wayne Gretzky.
Well, that's
one. Great One.
Nobody knows Babe Ruth's real name. That, you'll admit, is a bit obscure.
George Herman.
I do not think so. I think if it's one of the best players in the sport, you know their name, you know where they're from, all that stuff.
Well, right, but I think that Babe Ruth became so synonymous, like Whitey Ford. Nobody knows Whitey Ford's real name.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I just think Babe is not really a nickname anymore. Bambino is a good one, though. But, I mean, listen, we're in the final eight, Maggie. These are heavy, heavy hitters.
Yeah, one seeds. You know, I was thinking about this with Air Jordan. Is his airness really... I don't know.
Is that a nickname? His air?
Oh, they definitely use that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But his nickname is not his airness. It'd probably be Air Jordan. But even that, you're right. It's not like.
No one ever called him that to his face, though. Right?
No one
say, I'm here with Air Jordan. Maybe you would.
No, you wouldn't.
I think maybe sometimes I'm here with Air Jordan. I don't know if you say, hey, Air Jordan, I have a question for you. I think it's a difference.
But would you say...
Air Jordan, sign my basketball.
Would you say that with most of these nicknames? Would you say, I'm here with Shaq Diesel?
I might say that.
I feel like these are things Ahmad Rashad has said. Like these things we're saying.
Ahmad Rashad is not like your average interviewer.
Or even like Stuart Scott, you know? Like, I feel he definitely would have been like, yo, I'm here with Air Jordan, like, especially he's a Carolina guy.
Yeah, you might say that.
Shaq's got a new nickname now, Dark Nowitzki.
Is it self-proclaimed?
Oh, yeah, of course.
All of Shaq's nicknames are self-proclaimed. Dark Nowitzki?
Dark Nowitzki. And he put out a video of him shooting threes, and he went like 0 for 17. So not exactly like Nowitzki.
Did he have the leg up, like signature Nowitzki fadeaway? Oh, man.
I don't think he's lifting those big feet and those knees.
Don't I know it. Life. It's the one thing that Shaq and I have in common. Gigantic feet.
Giant feet.
Just huge, monstrous.
I hate to say this, but did you guys see the picture of LeBron on the boat with Nikola Jokic's agent?
Yeah, I did.
I did not see that. No, I saw him at the party with Savannah singing Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, I think they're in Europe. I believe they were vacationing in Paris, and he was on a boat or I guess a yacht with Jokic's agent and then Maverick Carter. And then Jokic's agent posted like, "It's never too early to start planning for the future" or whatever, which made people think, "What the hell is going on?" I couldn't help but just see LeBron. His right foot looks so deformed in this picture on the boat. I couldn't unsee it.
Wait, what? Oh, just how his toes are and
stuff? Yeah, because he's like, he's barefoot, you know, crossing his legs, you know, like, you know, I don't think they were drinking or smoking a cigar or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, everyone's talking about, ooh, look at this caption. What does this mean? I'm like, do you see LeBron's foot? How does he play on that thing?
There was a video of him like on a beach years ago where you could see how deformed his foot is. It's actually very disgusting.
Oh, basketball players' feet. It's a war zone. It looks like knotted tree trunk, like roots. You know, have you ever seen like when the roots of a tree trunk and they're just like, ugh. I didn't see this though. Oh, is that a bunion?
Yeah, but I think it's more than that. I'm like, and remember he said he had to go to LeBron James' feet to figure out what his issues were.
Yeah.
Now I get it. Yeah, you probably did because I don't know how he plays with those.
It's like a bunion and then the second toe is kind of going over the first toe.
Oh, it's
the first toe, the big toe kind of looks like it's taking just a left.
Yeah, it's gnarly. It's really gnarly.
I mean, what do you think's going to happen after all these years? Basketball is brutal on your feet.
I love the connotations out there that somehow LeBron would be able to join Joker. Like, when is this going to happen? Like, LeBron's going to come back at 44 to play a season with Nikola Jokic and Bryce and Bronny, and they're all going to be a big party. Like, people are so desperate to get him off this Lakers team. It's like they'll date any connection they can to get him on a contender.
Oh, wait, that's funny. I didn't think of it that way. Yeah. I thought about Jokic to the Lakers, and then he would play with Luka.
Oh, so like,
well, it'd be like LeBron with Luka and Jokic joins them. Isn't that what 2027 is all about? Giannis and Jokic become free agents?
But wait, 2027?
Who's ever leaving LA? The point is to get to LA.
Right, no? But LeBron has to hang around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, but then you can't pay LeBron, Luka, and Jokic.
At that time, though, but LeBron...
Well, LeBron's going to be cheap at that point.
If he's signing one-year deals, in theory,
He can't do another $50 million a year deal if he wants to stay in L.A.
No, but I mean, let's say if Jokic is a free agent in 2 years, you sign a one-year deal next year, again, then you're a free agent, and, you know, Doncic is the only guy under contract, and then Joker's a free agent, in theory... If they just clear the whole cap, they should have a lot of money.
Yeah, this was not about, to me, that wasn't about LeBron going to Denver.
Well, so a lot of people thought this was actually them talking about starting this new European league.
Oh.
Because, like, Jokic is, whoever his agent is, like, is obviously, I don't know if he's Serbian, but he's definitely European.
The Ari Gold of Europe?
Right, yeah. So people thought, oh, this is like them finding, you know, power brokers to help launch that. You know, because Maverick Carter is big into starting this new basketball league. So that was one of the theories out there.
I saw there's the Mavericks chatter is back on for LeBron too. Have you guys noticed that? Yeah. I guess there was a report this weekend that he's curious.
I think Mark Stein, I believe, had a story about it.
Yeah,
he's the Dallas guy.
I like Maggie's scenario that Luka and Jokic are eligible for free agency, but isn't Luka going to?
No, Luka's going to stay with the Lakers, and Jokic and Giannis become free agents at the same time. I thought that's 2027.
So then LeBron would have to take that mid-level that he was so against taking this year.
Well, maybe in 2 years, it's not looking so bad when he's 43.
But I think the point was LeBron will never take less money. Anyway, when he's 43, I know that's the other thing. He's going to be 43 and out there with this team.
By then, Bronny's going to be needing a new contract.
Yeah, seriously. definitely.
Only half kidding there.
I'm not the only one who just, I don't know, I keep hearing the Dallas stuff. I do not want LeBron James' career to end with the Dallas Mavericks.
Why? Why not? That'd be amazing to see him this year With Kyrie coming back for the playoffs, that I would love to see this. LeBron, would that be the more preferred destination this year?
LeBron James is one of the most iconic players ever play the sport. I think he needs to end his career with an iconic franchise or the hometown team. Nothing is wrong with Dallas. They have one title. Like, you know, obviously the Cuban years, they were really good. But that feels weird. Seeing him in a Mavericks jersey when he's giving the wave goodbye to the fans of Dallas. Like, this is Mr. Akron. This is Los Angeles Laker for the last 6 or 7 years. Like, this, you know.
Any weirder than Jordan in the Wizards jersey?
Cleveland!
That was weird. That shouldn't have happened.
This is for you!
Yeah, except I'm thinking of Ewing in a Sonics jersey and Akeem in a... But those teams were not contenders. This team is... Dallas would be amazing. Like, they... Well,
would they?
Kyrie's not going to be there the whole year. Anthony Davis gets hurt all the time.
I don't know.
What's so amazing about them?
I mean, Kyrie's been talking.
And you have a Cooper Flagg, but he's going to be a rookie.
Wait, Kyrie's been talking. He's not sounding like a guy that's rushing to come back this season.
Yeah, but if LeBron came, then maybe he would. I don't know. The Mavericks look pretty great to me.
Didn't he literally say, don't hold your breath?
Yeah, but that's with no LeBron. I just think that it's a better team than Lakers if you put LeBron in there. And LeBron would have a better role.
Yeah,
I mean, because LeBron, instead of standing around watching Luka dribble the ball, he could play with, you know, real center Derek Lively. He would get Anthony Davis, Cooper Flagg.
Well, some of them guys is coming to L.A. You're not playing with all those guys.
Who are you giving up? Klay Thompson and some scrub?
Lively's going to the Lakers. If
then the other guy. Then put in Gafford, whatever.
All right.
You have two centers.
Are you excited about Gafford?
He's fine. Yeah, it's better. Fine. It's better than, what's the guy they have right now? Last year they had Jackson Hayes.
Well, now they have DeAndre Ayton they signed.
Yeah, again. Oof.
Well, DeAndre Ayton for less money. This is not him like on some kind of $30 million a year contract. 888-710-4ISN. LeBron's feet? Ugh. But you know what?
It looks like he has four toes.
But all these guys' feet is gross. This is what happens with professional athletes. Your feet are very important, but they take a beating.
But do you got to put them in the picture? That's the thing.
You gotta let those dogs bark, EJ.
No, you can. I'm not saying don't go barefoot on the boat. I'm saying you could crop the picture at the feet. Women do this all the time. This has become a thing now. They're like, oh, no free feet. They're smart about this.
Like, no free feet.
Yeah, I didn't need to see that. I wanted to make the conspiracy theories about what's going on with LeBron and this Joker agent. And I'm just like, bro, what is with his foot?
Might be a market there for you, Maggie.
I know. I feel like I've been giving away all the goods. It's not me. It's Wiki Feet. Can't help it. I wore sandals to work one day. Forgive me. Never going to make that mistake again. Okay. We started off this segment talking about Terry McLaurin and the Washington Commanders. Who needs who more? The team to help Jaden Daniels, or does McLaurin need to be on this team? And who should give, right?
The Commanders.
Coming up, we have a review of the hot movie from the weekend, Happy Gilmore 2. Perloff, are you ready with your movie review?
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, this is...
Oh, don't give it away.
I'm just saying, like, this is the beginning of the Oscar season.
For what category?
You'll find out.
Next, MVP.
The price is wrong.
Huge weekend in the Perloff household. Happy Gilmore 2 came out from our friend Adam Sandler. Can I just tell you a personal issue that I'm going to spring on you guys real fast? We were in the country in the Poconos, and we went to a thrift store. Is anyone in here into thrifting? I'm a big thrifting fan. My daughter is a professional thrifter.
That's a nerd thing?
I don't know.
Nah, definitely a hipster thing.
It's like a young person.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed to go into some of the Brooklyn thrift shops because I'm so old and uncool. Anyway, they give you a bag, and you can fill the bag with $20. For $20, you can fill it with as many clothes as you can, a garbage bag. So I get a ton of clothes. I'm allergic to every single one of them. Wore a shirt yesterday and could not stop sneezing the whole time.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Yes.
Why don't you wash it? Did you wash it?
We washed it. We washed it. The whatever's in there did not come out. There's dust mites. There's algae. I don't know what's going on.
Algae? Oh, my God. Was it a scuba suit?
Why don't you put it through Maggie's dishwasher? It'll wash it right out.
Yeah.
That's what
it's like a J.Crew polo shirt, and I just can't. It might be mental, but... Vintage clothes make me sneeze, and I have a big problem with this.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Nerd. There's no way that you would buy something at a thrift store and you would obviously wash it.
Yeah, no. It doesn't matter if you wash it. It's been washed many times. These shirts just get thrown into piles, and who knows what. I'm actually highly allergic to dust mites. Pretty gross.
Yeah.
But I don't think a wash is enough to get get them perfectly clean.
Wow.
I might have to put them through, like, bleach them. Anyway, so.
And this is what constitutes as a big weekend in the Perloff household.
But he's not a nurse.
Oh, yeah. Wait, what do you guys do? Trust me.
Come to
Williamsburg, Brooklyn, all those places. Like, what do you think young people are doing? Like, Lucy, who's my daughter, who's 14, takes me to, I'm like, oh, this is where the young, cool people are hanging out. It's the L Train Vintage Shop / Coffee Shop. It is incredible. It's like every beautiful person in New York is hanging out here. What's better than that?
I got something better than that. I did something better than that, and it wasn't anything that I did. I got invited to a party, a cool summer backyard party, where the people throwing the party had a live band.
Bob's Bar.
Amazing. Does Bob's Bar, do they do a live band there?
Yep.
They do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, this was awesome. And then, unbeknownst to anyone, the host and the hostess have incredible voices and got up and sang.
I don't know. It sounds like sort of suburban middle-aged stuff going on.
Well, of course it is. Yeah. And this is platinum-level entertainment
for
that.
So Maggie spent her weekend at the Hamptons. That's what we learned.
No. This feels like...
That's too far of a drive.
Yeah, the Hamptons, like, you want to go to Jet East or some famous club. Like, you don't... This sounds like a at the end of the cul-de-sac, like, let's have a big barbecue and parent party.
It was great. Can I tell you what? I'm not ashamed to say it. Cover bands rock. They really are great. They scratch an itch that is just awesome. And I don't know how cover band musicians are, like, looked at in the musician community. Like, if you're not writing your own music or whatever, screw that. Just, like, give me the covers.
Yeah, one of my favorite nights in Mexico was when we had a night where, well, there was a couple of nights. There was, like, Motown night, where someone came to the hotel and was just performing Motown. Then there was another night where there wasn't a theme, but the woman was like, hey, just DM me whatever song you want me to sing, and I'll see if I know it.
It's like Great American Songbook type stuff.
It was great.
You know what they say about Mexico? It's just been the home of Motown for years.
Detroit. Cancun, same.
Yeah. Puerto Vallarta.
All right, we have a movie review that we have to get to. That's where I thought you were going with this, Perloff. Not that you were thrifting in Pennsylvania.
Poconos,
PA. You watched Happy Gilmore 2, and so did Bogish.
Yeah. Separately,
of course. So I came
into
it.
We already know Perloff won't go
to Bogish. I'll be honest, I came into it with low expectations because a lot of people were tweeting that it was a bad movie. Our buddy Jordan Schultz had what is now an infamous tweet saying it's the worst movie he's ever seen, .. So I'm like, oh, okay. I came into it with very low expectations and was pleasantly surprised. For what it is, Happy Gilmore 2, brings back a lot of the old gags from the first movie, has amazing cameos, and has enough laugh-out-loud moments to be fine. Is it going to win the Oscar? No. Is it the original Animal House? No. But it is.
Is it the original Happy Gilmore?
No.
Okay.
But it's fun. It's kind of a nostalgia play.
It's very fun. It was better than I thought, and a similar take to it as that you do. And I had low expectations, assuming it was going to be a painful hour 45, and it was pretty enjoyable. My kids were laughing at it. My wife and I were laughing at it. Now, the actual plot is preposterous, which is saying a lot for an Adam Sandler vehicle. I mean, I told you guys off the air, I would love to see what didn't make the cut for the plot, that this is what the best idea was to get him back to playing golf.
Suck. It was jackass.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. It's worth hitting play on for
who
sure.
Who is the best? You don't have to give away everything, but who was the best cameo? Because that's what it's supposed to be, all cameos.
Yeah, so Bad Bunny, I don't think qualifies as a cameo because he's actually in the main credits of the movie. So I don't think he counts, but he's great. He's super funny.
Now, was that credited to Bad Bunny or Benito Martinez?
There were four names.
Yeah, Benito Ocasio Martinez. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, him, that way.
Benito Antonio.
The guy who was with Bad Bunny from Saturday Live was funny, too.
Yeah, that's Domingo.
Domingo was in it.
Marcelo Hernandez.
Yes. He was legitimate. That was maybe the funniest scene.
My son
what
said
about Kelsey?
Kelsey's Travis good, too.
Kelsey was just okay. Kelsey didn't get as much burn as I thought he was going to. I thought he was a big part of this movie.
I'll give that away. He gets eaten by a bear in a dream sequence.
Nice.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he played a bad guy.
Yes,
which was
I could see it. I wasn't sure if maybe Taylor would make an appearance.
Nope.
That they didn't say.
No.
I thought the golfers all did well because the thing about it, you don't know these golfers. You know nothing about them, and they seem like a bunch of fun guys.
We're talking about Happy Gilmore,
bear run
too.
After a truck. Margaret Qualley had a brief cameo.
Yes.
Andy McDowell's daughter.
Yeah, she was...
married to the guy that writes all these songs with all these women, with Taylor Swift and Sabrina Carpenter, Jack something.
Antonoff.
She's the one from the Tarantino Once Upon a Time in Hollywood movie, right?
Yep.
She's also the other half of Demi Moore in that freaky movie from last award season.
So, and the guys I like, you know those guys who have the new comedy troupe on Saturday Night Live, Please Don't Destroy?
Mm.
They were in it briefly. They had a funny, Eric Andre was in it. He was funny. Everybody kind of hit it out of the park with the cameos. Dan was amazing, by the way.
How was Dan Patrick?
Dan played Pat Leonard, host of some sports center type show.
The sports hole.
And Dan was able to deliver lines that were, with a total straight face, that were utterly ridiculous. He's like, you have to play the Dan things, because Dan delivers it totally straight when the actual, as Bogues mentioned, the plot is totally insane.
So all right.
Him and Stephen A. Smith are used to like progress the story.
Stephen A.'s in this movie?
Stephen A. had a laugh out loud funny.
Yeah. They're used to like do the recap and to move it forward and to give you details as we're like skipping ahead in time. That's the point that they're there. But Dan's got this big bushy mustache. and they make Vern Lundquist curse. He's still the main play-by-play guy, and he's cursing in it. So that was good,
crack?
Too.
Yeah. And then at one point...
they brought Vern out of retirement.
Barely.
Post Malone joins him as a third man. It is bonkers.
Okay, so I have got some family coming to stay with me. Should I put this on for an 11-year-old and a 7-year-old?
They're not from here, though, right?
They speak English.
But do they know anything about Happy... Like, my kids have seen Happy Gilmore, so they understood some of the things.
I don't know.
Felice Gilmore.
Should we do the first Happy Gilmore? I feel like it's a little much for a 7-year-old, no?
It is.
Okay, and so maybe not.
And the problem is, it's one of those movies too, like where you're like, oh, let's watch this, and you hit play, and if they don't get it, then you feel like a dope that you were like,
it's a long hour and a half. Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah. So
yeah,
it's rough.
I'd say no. Watch this. Just you and your husband watch it when you have a free minute. I wouldn't run the risk.
Don't shoehorn this in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I can't see Maggie liking this one. Like, I'm going to be flat out honest.
I'm the sequel lover around here. I love Caddyshack 2, and you don't think I'm going to love this one?
Well, you were 8 when you saw Caddyshack 2.
How old do you think it was when Happy Gilmore came out? Not that much older.
No, I know, but Happy Gilmore 2 came out now. That's my point. If you saw Caddyshack...
Oh, right.
I'd like to... Once again, when's the last time you saw Caddyshack 2? Does it hold up?
I watch it once a year.
I don't believe you. I don't even know where you can access it.
I came from outer space.
I don't think you could access it once a year. Where are you finding it?
She has the lone copy.
I just look up my clips anywhere.
On YouTube just to give myself a little bit of a chuckle. But we have Spaceballs coming out. Yeah, another Naked Gun is coming out.
That might be good. Spaceballs 2, straight to Netflix or whatever. That is going to disappoint you, man.
Yeah.
Well... that's a risk I'm willing to take. Bogues, what have we got?
Former NBA player Marcus Morris arrested yesterday in Florida on fraud charges. Markeith coming to his brother's defense, saying Marcus was arrested at the airport in front of his family over something that could have been settled easily and in private. Marcus may have written a bad check, and it may have been connected to an outstanding casino marker. But we need a lot more details about this. But we've seen the mugshot. We know he's been arrested. And maybe we hear from him at some time in the near future.
Wow. The two of them shared a bank account for a really long time. Wasn't that one thing about the Morris twins?
I'd never heard that. I've never heard of anyone doing that wasn't married. That's wild.
I'm pretty sure I have that right. Unless I'm thinking of the Lopez brothers. But I think I'm thinking of the...
Tracks more for the Lopez brothers. That they'd have one bank account and one cell phone.
At least the Lopez brothers can play on different teams. There was a moment when the Morris brothers had to play on the same team.
Right, but the Lopez brothers still have like their childhood bedroom with like Disney figurines for a while. Like they seem more like joint bank account statement guys.
The Morrises do have a joint bank account.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness, that's
still to this
crazy.
But that was as of 5 years ago.
So their NBA money was going into one place?
Yeah, Marcus Morris confirmed that his new contract would be deposited in the joint account he shares with his twin brother.
I'm telling you, they are tight.
That is crazy.
$64 million was the last.
I was going to say, there's a lot of money in that joint bank account, too. You make interest off of that? Smart move.
I like that.
If one person is bouncing checks to a casino, that's not in the plans.
That I don't like.
Well, you can't get a good rate of return at a joint bank account. You need to... Are they invested in mutual funds? What's going on here?
Assuming
they diversified.
Well, that's not a bank account. Do they have a joint Vanguard account?
How about a high yield interest rate, Pearl?
Savings account?
Right. If someone's going to put $64 million into a savings account, that should be a red flag.
Yeah, I think that's what they're doing here.
Then you should be bouncing a check to casino, or else you got a real big gambling problem.
In regular basketball news, the Bulls announcing an extension yesterday with head coach Billy Donovan. They did not mention the financial terms, nor have they been reported by anybody. Chicago is 10 games under 500 over five seasons with Donovan in charge. They have lost in the play-in the last three seasons. The Chargers and left tackle Rashawn Slater finally shaking hands on a long-expected extension yesterday. 4 years, reportedly $92 million guaranteed. Slater now the highest paid O-lineman ever. To where the show began, Kenny Pickett has a hamstring injury in Cleveland. He'll be reevaluated later this week. Cowboys potential starting guard Rob Jones suffered a broken bone in his neck during yesterday's practice. That, according to ESPN, he's expected to miss 2 to 3 months. And the Niners are bringing in veteran corner Eli Apple. He played just 4 games for the Chargers last season. Seth Lugo, among the most sought-after pitchers ahead of Thursday's trade deadline, but the Royals are keeping him instead, agreeing to a 2-year extension worth $46 million. On the field last night, the Mets pushed their win streak to 7, completing a 3-game sweep in San Francisco, 5-3. Ronnie Mauricio, 4 hits, including the tying solo homer into McCovey Cove in the top of the 7th. Yesterday afternoon, a little personal history from Mike Trout.
1-0 on Trout. This ball is lifted high in the air. This ball is carried deep out in the center, and it is Trout here. He hits it out to the batter's eye, dead center. That was a bomb off the bat of Trout. Angels add on. It's now 4-0.
The only thing Terry Smith didn't mention on Angels radio, that homer gave Trout 1,000 career RBI. The Halos won the game 4-1 over the Mariners.
Trout here?
Yeah, that's not new.
Oh, I really hate that.
Yeah. Have more beer. Alex Bregman clubbed a go-ahead two-run homer for the Red Sox. They took their rubber game with the Dodgers 4-3 at Fenway. The Minnesota Lynx perfect start home is over. Loss 1 coming in home game number 15. 90-86 to the Dream. Brittany Griner scored a season-high 22. And Padraig Harrington followed up his U.S. Senior Open win by claiming the Senior British Open yesterday. He is now the 5th man to win both versions of the Open Championship.
Wait, how old is that dude?
I don't know. I think you only need to be 55 to be on the senior tour. Because Justin Leonard finished 3rd. He's not that old either.
53.
So maybe it's just 50.
But I want to play a fun game with Rashawn Slater.
Sure.
Who did the Jets take when they passed on this great NFL player?
Was this Mekhi Becton?
No, it's Zach Wilson at number 2 instead of at number 13, Rashawn Slater, who's pretty much regarded as the second best left tackle in football. Anyway, just so I wanted to rub that in. But how did that dude fall to 13?
Yeah. So 12 teams made the same mistake.
Yeah,
but
it was a loaded draft. A lot of really good players went ahead of him, but that he should not have fallen to 13 because I look at every PFF grade, it's like he's a 90 out of 100, which is elite.
That's not an LOL Jets take.
They took Vera Tucker with the next pick.
Yeah, he's fine. He got hurt.
Yeah.
Anyway. I think you draft the quarterback number 2. It's not if a tackle goes 13. You missed out.
If you redraft that draft, Slater is top 3. He's real. According to PFF, he is just outstanding.
Oh, that is a heck really of a draft, good. Actually. That's a heck of a draft.
Oh, it's like 10 Hall of Famers.
The 2021 draft.
And the, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Kyle Pitts. Yeah. Not good. But then you get Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle, Penny Sewell, Patrick Surtain, Micah Parsons, Rashawn Slater.
Devontae Smith's there too.
Oof. Anyway.
It's okay. Yeah, and the Giants have Kadarius Toney at 20, in case anybody was wondering.
Oh, God.
And the Chargers have Joe Alt at the other tackle.
Technically, Kadarius Toney did win a Super Bowl, just not for y'all's team.
Hell yes. He scored some touchdowns, too.
Yeah. You're so funny, Max.
Well, it happened. 888-710-4ISN. Thank you, Bogish. Coming up, Deion Sanders set to have a press conference today unlike any other he's ever had. We'll give you the details next. A little surprising today, Deion Sanders having a press conference. That's not surprising. Deion talking to microphone, not surprising at all. But he's back on campus in Boulder. Pearl, what's surprising is that he's having a press conference today, and the report is his medical team is going to be by his side. Now, if you had missed the story, Deion had been recovering from an undisclosed illness in the Dallas area at his home, and so had not been at spring practices and other Colorado Buffaloes related stuff. But he was at Media Day, and it looks like now he's back on campus But it's a little odd to have a press conference with your doctor.
Yeah, I like your theory earlier in the show that maybe it's a recruiting tactic where he wants them to come up and say everything's fine with Deion in case somebody's negatively recruiting against Deion's well-known health problems. But if that's the goal, I'm not sure it works, because if you have to get up there with a medical team, even if they say everything's good, that has it like a lasting image that, wow, he has a medical team. Let's start with that. Like, it just, like, the health stuff is just real with Deion. Like, you can't ignore it. It's a huge part of his story.
Well, and the other part is, honestly, his health is none of our business. You know, as long as he's able to do his job, which,
well, that's why it's part of our business, though.
Well, and I think this is why people in Colorado are a little nervous, including our very own Andrew Kaplan, who's a proud Buffaloes alum, said people in Boulder are getting a little nervous because his health is his journey. As long as he can do his job, which he's doing and has been doing, Pearl, even if it kept him away from spring practice, we have no indications he'd miss a game or anything like that. Then can he have a little privacy? I think he's entitled to that. Everyone is. And that's why I thought maybe he was trying to win some kind of, like, people were maybe being negative about him on the recruiting trail. And this was more to send a message to the people inside football as opposed to fans or media like us.
Yeah, you know, you're right, because Deion is a very private person. I mean, he only has every single thing that the Sanderses ever do on tape. What are you talking about? Deion, A, doesn't want to be private, and B, like, this, that's like, there's certain people who are just wired to be in public. Deion, if you gave him a choice right now, do you want to keep stuff private or not? He would not.
Okay, but to your point then, why do you need the doctors there? If you're ready to spill the tea on everything that's going on, yeah, with you with yourself medically, right, then why do you need the team? Just
because
answer the questions.
Because he disappeared from Colorado for a while. And I think there's a lot of questions. Can he do his job? You know, he had two toes amputated before, yeah, has like a long history of blood circulation problems. I think that people want to know, I guess he's technically a public employee, right? At University of Colorado. I think he feels like he has to answer for this. People have a right to know, like, hey, why weren't you around the program? What's going on? Can we expect you to be here full time? I think that's what he's thinking. Personally, I would have kept it private, but Deion, that's not his style.
Mm. What do you think?
Well, I think, I don't know. There are all these things where he says, I feel great. I think it's on the table that he says this is my final year or something, but he would never do. You never do that in college because you'd be dead in the water. I'll put the over under two more years at most.
Okay.
I don't think he's long-term for Colorado. He's never not coached his son, right? Ever. Or is it his son has never not been with him? But I'm not bullish on the 10-year future in college football. How about you?
No, probably not. But I think that there is a idea that he wants to coach now and see if he likes it without Shador there, right?
Yeah,
and,
like, that makes sense.
Kind of try it out, right? And see what do you have the same joy? Do you have the same spirit and love for it? You know, he said that it's easier because even when you're coaching somewhere else, if your kid's on the team, you're always kind of keeping an eye on him and all of that, that you can coach kind of free and easy, I think is kind of how we put it.
By the way,
without having your son on the team. What's that?
Forgetting somebody.
Shiloh.
Yeah, Shiloh.
Shiloh's in the pros.
Yeah, but it's the first time he's coached without Shiloh.
Don't forget Shiloh. You know, I had two sons, right?
Yeah, you have three, sir.
Here's a quote. I love this. You're talking about him being private. This is from Deion Jr., yeah, third son. He's going to tell you all what he went through very soon, and I've got a lot of it recorded on video, so you'll be able to see what he went through.
Well, that's just that's the moneymaker, right? The documentary.
Yeah, that's like,
you're nobody unless you have a documentary.
Not only is it not private, he's setting up a documentary that he will produce. So, but that does give me the vibe that he's gotten through whatever. Like, I don't think he's going to say, I'm done now.
I don't think so either.
Which is out in the internet that people are saying, well, is this a retirement press conference? Absolutely is not, because he has not given off that energy.
No, and it'd be weird to go to media days and then, you know, retire a week later. That doesn't seem like Deion. Speaking of privacy, take a total left turn here. I'm going to be honest. I don't find stadiums, ballparks, anything like that, like an aphrodisiac.
There's some
awful, awful video that came out of this couple at a Yankee game. Yankees, Phillies, catch the fever.
It was not me.
Yeah, we know. Because if it had been.
Actually, are you sure it was not you?
I don't remember.
Meanwhile, you look at me different because I drank out of a cup that I once puked in after I washed it in the dishwasher and everything. Correct. I don't know if I'd be able to look at you the same, Manny, if this was you. These two people, just right out there in the open.
It's really one person.
Oh,
for?
No. There were two people there.
Yeah, the other guy was pretending. Yeah, but this was a one person show, basically.
It was?
Oh, yeah.
That's not the other guy was just. Internet.
Yeah, that's not what the internet's saying.
But the other guy was just sitting next to her.
I don't think so.
Busy, though.
I don't think that's how this went down. It was two people sitting next to each other, a man and a woman, and the woman is like kind of writhing in some kind of enjoyment. They're sitting side by side, and I think he was, you know.
I don't want
to get in trouble here.
Yeah, no, I mean there are people who think that he was, you know, helping her out.
Helping her out.
Yeah, but to Perloff's point though, when I watched it, I couldn't.
You can't really tell.
But then I, you know, now studying the stupid ass video, and I'm like, oh, his shoulder is kind of like moving kind of quick.
Oh god.
And I'm like,
Two things I can't understand where people want to do stuff in public places. One, sporting events. It's so gross. I mean, this floor sticky. Blech.
I'm not ordering a blow up doll.
Also, the subway. Public transportation in general, I think, is also. I know that one scene in what's the one with Tom Cruise and Rebecca De Mornay?
Risky Business.
Risky Business. They have that scene on the subway, but like that's not real. The subway is a disgusting, horrible place to be.
This is a hot take. You're saying that you shouldn't have sex on a subway,
or a stadium, or any public. I don't know.
Who's judging now?
Well, I'm in the public. I got to share this public space with people.
Oh,
ooh, Penix.
Gosh, you on your soapbox again about public acts of intimacy.
I know. Whatever. Square I am.
Yeah, what a prude. I mean, come on. You never got busy on a subway filled with people?
They basically glazed over everything. Just gross. I mean, is this worth a poll question? Public places, yes or no?
No, it's not worth a poll question. You should not do it on the subway. It's not worth a poll question. Is it appropriate to get jiggy with it, as EJ's favorite song says, on a subway?
The power's in the butt. Or at the Yankee game.
No, there's no debate. It's not poll question worthy. Like, should the Commanders give a 4-year deal to Terry McLaurin? That's a poll question. Not is it okay to have whatever.
There's just nothing it's just not, I don't know.
Yeah,
just thinking about that, I'll wet my pants.
I don't see the thrill at all.
I don't see it. I don't see the thrill. I'm not one of those people, but also just like, there's nothing less like sexy than a Yankees Phillies. I think you got to give them a D.
Wait, I'm just curious. Do you think there's a counter to this where somebody in another show somewhere is being like, well.
Yeah, I can't wait for it to get aggregated again by awful analysis for this hot take.
Yeah, it is. It's bizarre. You know what annoys me, though? I find the how many times this video hit my timeline quite annoying.
Yeah, it was like the CEO got caught at the Coldplay concert. It was like that level, at least on my timeline.
Yeah. But it didn't have any of the fun of that story or the Hawk to a girl either.
No, it was just kind of gross and sad.
Yeah, it was not good.
Did you see the CEO who did get caught cheating at the Coldplay concert? I guess is contemplating suing the band.
No, I did see who took over the company, though, by the way, which is a great twist. Did you see that?
Was that the cameo by Gwyneth Paltrow?
Gwyneth Paltrow is the new acting CEO, ex-wife of Chris Martin.
Yeah.
So was this all planned by the Chris Martin, Gwyneth Paltrow team?
I think it was just a joke from Gwyneth's side, right?
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought she knew somebody at Astronomer.
She
runs Goop. Why not Astronomer?
I don't know. I still don't know what Astronomer does.
But that was a bit? Oh my gosh, I'm such a sucker. You don't know what Astronomer does?
What do they do?
Are you serious?
What do they do?
Well, running out of time, I can't tell you.
Ah, shucks.
I guess I'll never know. There's no other way for me to get this information. Thank you, EJ Stewart. Manny Rodriguez. Hang in there, pal. Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan. Thank you so much, interns. Great job.